And you're listening to Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station. I've got a premier gentleman that I've got with me that I've been admiring for years, Mr. Kevin Bales. I mean, there's no words to describe this. His illustrious career, some of the great things that he's done. He's played with even Louis Belsom. I was shocked. I said, well, maybe he's older than me to play with Louis Belsom. But, you know, comes out of University of Florida. And he's traveled with the best. I mean, Eddie Daniels, James Moody, Sam Rivers, Nat Adderley. Went to Marcellus. He played 10 years with Rene Marie, taught at the University of North Florida. And I have to give him credit. This is a great pianist. He has a brand new one out called Beyond the Neighborhood. And Beyond the Neighborhood is the music of Fred Rogers, which you're hearing now. He and Kerry Johns Rudd with Billy Thornton and Marlon Patton. Without any further ado, I'd like to welcome you. How you doing?
I'm doing great, J-Man. It's great to see you. And as I said outside the lobby, CLK has been a big part of me and my music because I'm from Atlanta. I grew up listening to 91.9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, calling in every night asking who's on bass, who's on piano. And it means a lot every time I come back here.
Really? You know, I was really, I've been watching you for well over 10 years, to be very honest with you. And I've always been amazed at your light touch on the piano, the way you approach the arrangements. And, you know, it's interesting. You were with Rene Marie for 10 years, and you've played with so many people. You've been to Kennedy Center, Scholars everywhere, and around the world. And you bring so much to the table. Plus, you taught.
And I love teaching.
You
know,
you taught, man. Okay, I'm gonna be your next student, coach.
I work mainly with adults, man. It's amazing how many people just want their lives enriched with the freedom and possibilities of this music.
Well, there's a lot of possibility in the music, but most of all, a creative person like you that brings so much to the table means a lot. You know, whenever I see you performing, I know it's going to be a top-notch performance.
Oh, man, that's so kind.
It's being real.
My mentors taught me to, you know, bring 1,000% anytime you're playing, even if there's one person in the audience or it's just you and your buddies playing. You got to be real every time.
You're more than real. This brand new release, Beyond the Neighborhood, the music of Fred Rogers, I want to know who actually, what can I say? Most people were raised with the television show.
That's true, man.
But he was a musician.
Yeah,
he wrote all the music.
This was shocking for me to discover over the years. He had a live jazz trio in every single episode. Playing. I discovered this
Mr. Rogers had a live jazz trio.
Absolutely. They were there improvising the songs to accompany all those puppets and the acting and stuff. If you're listening, there's always music going on almost the whole time there's some music going on. They're back there doing it. At the very end, I was home from, I just started college and just got interested in jazz. I was home with mononucleosis, you know. And this is back in the UHF, VHF days, you know what I'm saying?
I know.
And I was watching Mr. Rogers. I noticed at the very end when they rolled the credits that this piano player was on a show, a guy named John Costas, was just killing it. I mean, he was, and every time it was radically different. So we had just bought one of these VCRs that would record, and I set it to record the last 3 minutes of every episode to check this cat out. And I'm telling you, he's really killing. You Google him, YouTube, Johnny Costas. Amazing guy. They called him this is not a good name, but they called him the White Art Tatum. I mean, he had a lot of virtuosoisms going on. But that was that's all I knew about this. But then, you know, I got real serious about jazz. I started making my living doing it. And I fell in love with just the tradition of American songwriting. We're talking about like Jerome Kern and George Gershwin, Richard Rogers, you know.
Richard Rogers.
Yeah, the Sound of Music.
Sound of Music,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
Hammerstein.
And this is the song that Charlie Parker loved to play. These are the songs that Thelonious Monk knew up and down. You know, there's a tradition to that stuff.
Right.
And I was playing this concert at Rollins College, which is in Florida. And we were playing in a hall called Rogers Hall. And I just assumed that was for Richard Rogers. And I asked them, when did Richard Rogers go to school here? And they were like, oh, no, it was Fred Rogers. Who's Fred Rogers? They thought, Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers.
I gotta be kidding. So it turns out, Jay, this is true, man. He got a degree in music composition from there. He wrote every song on that show, including 13 operas. This is a man who was deeply in love with music. And Carrie and I were like just talking about what would be a nice new project to do together. She worked and lived in Chicago, and we've done one album of original music together. And we both discovered we both loved Fred Rogers so much. And we started researching the songs. We were thinking we might have one or two songs to add on album. And we had so many great songs. And not just for kids, you know?
No, it wasn't. What really surprised me was the fact that when I first saw the release, Beyond the Neighborhood, the music of Fred Rogers, I said, okay. I said, Kevin Bales, I know who that is. Billy Thornton, I know who that is, and Marlon Patton.
Yeah.
I said, this is going to be interesting if they're taking the, you know, I'm thinking children's songs. Not true. Not true at all.
No, no. He was writing songs before he decided he wanted to go into childhood education. Part of why this matters to me is it's very clear when you look at these songs, and there's stuff in there that's as good as Richard Rogers. I don't say that with any hesitation, although that's a provocative statement, but it's true. And you can't write music that well without being deeply, deeply in love with it. And here's a man who took that love and kind of set it aside instead to be an advocate for childhood education on television. You know, it's something else. This is a big year for him. We started this project not knowing that this was going to be he would have been 90 years old if he was still alive. It's the 50th anniversary of his show. Tom Hanks is playing him in a movie.
Right.
This documentary of him that just came out is amazing. It's on Netflix now. I encourage everyone to see it. You will be uplifted by, I mean, the first scene is him playing the piano and comparing life to the modulations we do in music. It's really profound, Jay.
This is interesting. You've had a great musical journey in many ways, and for you to pick up a project like this and enhance it and take it to another level. For children, everyone that came up during that era, remember Mr. Rogers.
Sure, yeah.
My own children listened to looked at Mr. Rogers, but I would have never thought in a million years that he was an accomplished musician.
Not just accomplished, I mean, really great.
Great.
You know, that first song you played, you know, today, which is a song by his called It's You I'd Like, I transcribed that from the video of Wynton Marsalis on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah, they would go into, you know, because he had that jazz trio, sometimes in episodes, they would go to the neighborhood music store in the back, these cats would be jamming, and then they'd go back there and talk about music. I've got this other clip of Mary Lou Williams on his show teaching how to scat.
Oh, you should have brought that, man.
Well, it's video, you know.
Well, let's take the sound off of that. I mean, that's not a problem. This is we're in the age of technology.
Well, I'm telling you, we're doing this show coming up. That part of why I'm here is not just about this, but also to promote this show I'm doing in Atlanta on March 19th. That's a Monday at Venkman's, which is a wonderful place in the 4th Ward here in the heart of Atlanta. They're opening up on this Monday just for me. It's amazing how Mr. Rogers brings people together.
Right.
You know, so they're opening up just for me, and we're going to show two little videos. One of them is that Mary Lou Williams video.
I'll be there.
But the other one, which if you haven't heard, this is amazing. This the second year of PBS funding in 1968, they were going to cancel the funding. Fred Rogers wasn't famous yet, but he got in his beat up old Buick and drove from Pittsburgh all the way up to D.C. and testifies before Congress. And there's video of this. Man, it's like a Frank Capra movie. Mr. Rogers goes to Washington. And there's this, you know, this senator up there who's in charge, who's trying to take the money away. And Fred recites this song he wrote for kids, trying to explain the value of this education thing. And before he finishes the song, the senator holds his hand up and says, you've got your $10 million.
No, oh, wow.
It's a moving thing. Yeah, I mean, we would probably, you know, I'm sure other people were involved, but PBS still being around is because of him and lots of other arts things. So we're going to show those two videos while we're there. They're very brief.
Aren't you playing someplace soon?
Yeah, we're going on a little tour. We're leaving.
I'm talking about at Georgia State.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're also doing Wednesday at noon. We're doing two gigs in Atlanta this coming Wednesday at noon in the lobby of the Rialto Theater. They have this series called Feed Your Senses.
Mm.
And we're gonna. It's free. This one's free. Free to the public. Mm-hmm. It's noon to one, right in the lobby of the historic Rialto Theater. We'll play from noon to one, and we're gonna play this music. Music with Fred. And then we're heading over to Savannah on Thursday to play the jazz club there called Good Times.
We're going to Good Times.
And then we're going to the Jazz Corner in Hilton Head, one of the best jazz clubs in the South.
Yeah, it is one of the best.
Yeah, they're like family to me. I've been playing there since they opened. They welcomed me in. We're going to do that. And then we're coming back to Atlanta that Monday, the 19th. We're doing the big show at Fankman's, which is...
What is the... Who's in your group?
Well, it's the same people on the record. Plus, I've got... Trey Wright is going to sit on guitar. This cellist I work with very much named Arpanek. She's from Armenia. We've got an album out, too. You know, Yo-Yo Ma, the cellist, used to be on Mr. Rogers all the time. So I've got her here playing, you know, playing some of the cello things that was on Fred Rogers' show. And we have a few other guests. I'm not going to say their names because they're trying to work it out still. Monday, the week of Thanksgiving, some people have to travel, but we're going to have a huge, huge party celebrating Fred Rogers and playing this music that's very uplifting.
Here in Atlanta or in Savannah?
That's Venkman's is in Atlanta. That's Monday the 19th, 8 o'clock.
I'm 19th of what month?
Of this coming up, this November.
November 19th.
Yeah, the first Monday before Thanksgiving.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to come. Oh, wow.
Please do, man. You'll be my guest if you come.
No, you've got me. You've got my attention. Really, you really do. I mean, you've been, you know, sometimes I think great musicians like yourself are unsung heroes, you know, because you produce so much great music and you play with so many great people. And you, when you're brushing shoulders with the greatest, you have to become the greatest, you know.
Yeah, that's how you get better is by playing with the band. I can't tell you how lucky I am. I do have a long... I'm 51 now, which is shocking to say out loud. I still feel like a kid, and 51's a kid. But, you know, I've just played with so many people who have mentored me, and that's what this music is about. It's really very much a Fred Rogers concept, this idea of us being a big neighborhood and let's all support and help each other, which is really what jazz has been about for me.
Who was your greatest inspiration as a pianist?
That's a hard problem. I have a great love affair with almost every pianist that plays jazz. I'll find them out, get all their records, and listen to all of them. One guy who also mentored me, who I also listen to, is playing all the time, is the great pianist Marcus Roberts.
Oh, Marcus, oh,
who I also think he's a little unsung. Because of his genius. I mean, he's really... great. He's a great human being, too.
Right.
And then, why is he a great human being?
No. I said that is great.
Oh, yeah, something. I'm Ahmad Jamal, you know.
Ahmad Jamal. He and I used to go to the same barbershop.
Get out of here.
No, seriously. Melton's Barbershop used to be on 156th Street in Broadway. And I met him when I was 17 years old. He went to that barbershop when he was in the city on a Saturday. He and Ron Carter.
Man, that's amazing.
You know, so you got a chance to see some of the great, I got a chance to see them at a young age. And they would talk about music and range. Well, you know, Ahmad now has moved to France permanently.
I did not know that. His bass player is a good friend of mine, Reginald Veal.
I know Reginald, yeah.
And Herlin Riley.
Herlin Riley, right.
Although I heard Veal wasn't playing with him right this minute. But
he moved to California, I think in Sacramento or somewhere like that.
I thought Texas, but...
Maybe Texas.
We're not going to gossip.
I saw him when I was in, I saw Reginald when I was in California this summer.
There's another genius.
Bass player.
Yeah, he is something else. And we had him in Atlanta for a while, which is great.
But yeah, we did. We did have a chance to see him play a number of times, though. But you see, you have so many projects, man. How far do you project your projects ahead?
Well, that varies from person to person. This Fred Rogers project, we spent over 2 years on.
Really?
Yeah, we started planning out before we knew that this was going to be a big year for it. I view it more less than projects, than more about relationships. When you have a person you like to make music with, you start performing, you do things together. At some point, you want to document. It's like you want to take a picture.
Right.
You know, you want, and so, like this record we're talking about here, I mean, first of all, these are some of my favorite musicians ever to play with. I cannot say enough about Billy Thornton and Marlon Patton as musicians.
Can't.
And this record, it's all first takes, man.
You know, what really surprised me is that when you taught, you told me that Virginia Shank was one of your students.
Yeah, she did. She took piano lessons for me a little while and some composing and stuff. Yeah, I've been working with her for about 8 years, yeah.
So you compose and arrange?
Yeah, all musicians do a lot. I mean, every time I'm on stage, I'm composing and arranging, you know? I mean, we all do a lot of this. Yeah, I do a lot of producing, which is a slightly different thing, which is helping, you know, maybe someone hasn't been in the studio much. You want to help them battle those fears and worries you have when you put a microphone in front of you, you know? I like helping with that. I just like the community of all this. I like being a sideman a lot more than being a leader, but sometimes you're leading something, you do that too.
You know, you're very versatile artist. I would just like to thank you for the opportunity of gracing the audience of WCLK. And I don't want this to be your last time. You've got too many projects, man.
Yeah,
I do. And you got too many relationships. You need to come more often.
I do need to more. Now, I've done about 100 of those CLK Jazz of the City things for y'all.
Really?
Yeah, if y'all still play every now and then, I'll get a call from someone.
Right. I mean, but you know, it's interesting. We have so many great musicians here in the city, and there's never enough time nor enough to bring out to the forefront, because you do so much so often, especially because I've seen you not just here, but all over in a number of cities, you know, even if I didn't get a chance to talk to you.
Well, I do think Atlanta, we're having a jazz renaissance right now. There's so many just world-class, amazing musicians of all ages, young, and they're all feeding into each other. It's an exciting time, I think, to be a jazz musician in Atlanta. We just need a few more clubs.
We need a few more. You got that right. We need a few more clubs. But any final words for the WCLK audience, Kevin?
Well, first of all, thank you to WCLK and to you. But I'm just going to pump this performance again, because this is important to me. It's Monday, November 19th at Venkman's. That's